loan officers. Join the Mortgage Calculator as an MLO for unlimited mortgage leads and up to 250 BPS compensation.
So welcome, everyone. My name is Kyle Hershey. I'm the COO of the Mortgage Calculator, joined here by our president, Nick Hershey, and our sales manager, Jose Gonzalez. We are a lender that specializes in non-QM loans. And what we do every Tuesday, Wednesday, and now Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern is go through a in-depth loan officer training in a different topic. And tonight's topic is going to be how to structure foreign national borrower loans, which is something that we specialize at here at the Mortgage Calculator. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Jose, our sales manager with 28 years of experience as both a loan officer and a realtor in South Florida. So obviously has a lot of foreign national experience on both sides of the transaction. So Jose, let's go ahead and get into it.
How's everybody doing this evening? Oh, absolutely. Foreign national borrower loans. You got to love them, especially if you are in South Florida, which is the Mecca for most foreign national borrowers. Florida in general, the number one foreign national borrower interest state. So I'll share some interesting information with you all at the end of the presentation, but let's get into how to structure a foreign national borrower loan. So what exactly is a foreign national borrower, right? I mean, we always get asked this question every now and then, especially because we have so many different borrower classifications. We have our foreign national borrowers. We have our ITIN borrowers. We have our non-permanent resident alien borrowers and permanent resident aliens and U.S. citizens. So what exactly is a foreign national borrower, where they would be, I guess, at the bottom of that totem pole in reference to status in the U.S., because they don't have any status in the U.S. They are a foreign national borrower. They are a citizen of another country. Now, we do have an exception possible for dual citizens, you know, U.S. citizen and a citizen of another country, where this borrower derives their income and permanently resides outside the U.S. and has done so for the majority of their life. They just maybe happen to be born here and then grew up and lived somewhere else and have established their whole life. We do have an option for that. But 9 times out of 10, they're going to be a citizen of another country and they are looking to buy either a second home or an investment property here in the U.S. It can never be a primary residence here. Foreign national borrowers, no credit score required. But if they do have credit, then the minimum credit score and trade line requirements per the guideline for the program that you're reviewing will apply. Not all visa types are acceptable either. Keep an eye out on diplomatic immunity visas. They're not acceptable. If a borrower has a diplomatic visa, they're not going to be able to fund a loan for them because due to the fact of their visa type, they cannot, no legal action can be taken against them. So if they should not be able to foreclose. Hence, borrowers with diplomatic visas are not acceptable. The foreign national borrower can never derive any of their income in the USA for a foreign national loan. Right. If they are actually deriving income in the U.S., like borrowers that have an E-2 visa, right, the E-2 investor visa, which allows them to legally work here while they are managing and running their business, is the purpose of the E-2 visa, then that borrower could apply as a non-permanent resident alien as long as they meet the other requirements of having U.S.-based credit. Right. If you have the income for the program type, usually it's full doc. You would need the two years or year, depending what the program type is. As long as you have the income and you have the visa type that allows you to work here and the credit, you could be a non-permanent resident alien. Other than that, you're going to be a foreign national, not an ITIN borrower either, because the ITIN borrowers live here in the U.S. permanently. They work here. They have U.S.-based credit. They just don't have status yet. But that is not a foreign national borrower. Now, obviously, we have DSCR, foreign national loans. We'll get into those details in a minute, that don't require any income verification in any place for the borrower. Now, to note here for our MLO structuring the deals, if the borrower, does not have any U.S.-based credit, then the loans are typically priced with a 680 credit score when you're pricing it out, so that you get viable option. There may be exceptions to this. Typically, it's going to be a 680. So what are the eligible transactions? Well, there are foreign national transactions eligible for purchase and rate and term. Purchases typically up to max 75% LTV, same for the rate and term. We have cash out refi options up to 70% LTV for the foreign national borrowers. Now I break it down into a couple of different categories, basically a streamlined option for both full doc and DSCR, and a non-streamlined option. Why do I have that? Because we have multiple conduits for foreign national loans. Some in the streamlined option, depending on if it's full doc or not, the borrower will not have to provide credit reference letters, nor any type of bank reference letter. If it's full doc, they're going to have to provide their CPA employer letter, but they also do not have to provide a valid visa on their passport if it's an investment property and they're not signing in the USA. So what makes the streamlined option for full doc streamlined is then no visa required if it's an investment property and they're not signing in the USA, and no bank and credit reference letter needed either. You only need to verify the employment income depending on the employment type. So if it's a full doc non-streamlined option, as some of the conduits then will ask you for a visa, valid visa, regardless of if they're signing or not in the U.S. And they will also ask for bank reference letters and or credit reference letters, anywhere from one or two, right? So that's a difference, little difference in pricing as well. But these are logistical situations that you have to discuss with your borrowers regarding procurement of certain documents. They may not be where they can get them, is why I say logistical, right? So we do have the streamlined option and the non-streamlined option for full doc. Now, if it's DSCR, becomes a little simpler, because then on the DSCR streamlined option, not only is a borrower not required to provide credit reference nor bank reference letter, they're also not required to provide any type of income verification letter, obviously it's DSCR, nor any kind of CPA letter to verify residency expenses nor anything like that. Very super streamlined option there. The non-streamlined option on the DSCR may require a CPA letter to verify primary housing expense, and a credit reference letter will be required. So keep that in mind when you're pricing out your options. Provide all options to your borrowers. That's a good way to provide it. Here's a DSCR streamlined option, and here's a DSCR non-streamlined option. Explaining to them which is which, and then the borrower may say, you know what, I can't, these documents here may present an issue for me right now. So sometimes it's, you know, a little bit higher in the rate, but it resolves the situation of the objective closing on the property. So we talk about the full doc loan. As I mentioned there, first bullet point, I love to point out, streamlined doc option does not require credit reference letters. But if it's not the streamlined option, you will need credit reference letters, typically 43% DTI, manually underwritten. Self-employed borrowers, we would need a CPA letter from the country where the income originates, cannot be the U.S., and I'll show you sample letters in a bit. Salaried or hourly employee would be a verification letter completed and signed by their employer. We also have samples in a minute. Now, depending on the option, I did mention that we may require two credit reference letters from creditors in the country where they permanently reside. A resume of business experience may be required. Now, this does allow for partial occupancy by the borrower combined with short-term rental, since we do have full doc. And personal or entity ownership is allowed. Because on the full doc, you could have a second home We're not talking about, you know, it's not always investment. I did state we could have a second home or an investment property. So it could be personal or entity ownership is allowed. Entity ownership highly recommended. And most likely on the investment property would be a requirement. So these are our full documentation requirements. Keep an eye on the CPA letter, right, for the self-employed. Now, what about our DSCR options for foreign national? Well, again, I like to state the streamlined option does not require credit reference nor a CPA letter. No DTI on that one. Sorry about the typo. Is manually underwritten loan. Again, depending on which option, because if it's a non-streamlined option for DSCR, we are going to require the two credit reference letters from the country in the country where they permanently reside. Now, keep in mind the DSCR option does not allow any occupancy by the borrower, nor by the borrower's family. Right, so that's super important to note there. Hold up 1 second. Notice I just corrected the typo there. Eliminated the reference to DTI on my slide there. So again, does not allow any occupancy by the borrower, nor family, nor friends, right? This is a pure investment only option. The DSCR option, since it is a pure investment only option, if you have your passport but don't have your current U.S. visa because you're waiting 6 months to get that appointment at the consulate, that's why I stress the benefit of the streamline option for investment properties, because if they don't have to come permanent to sign in person, then that option would not require them to have a visa on their passport if they reside in a non-visa waiver country. And then real importantly there, we do have no ratio and low ratio DSCR options when the DSCR is 0.75 to 0.99. And when the DSCR is less than 0.75, we actually do have those options for foreign national borrowers. That's not very common out there. 99.9% of the foreign national loans out there on a DSCR loan option are going to require 1.0 minimum plus. We have options going 0.75 to 0.99 and below 0.75. Now, here, double exclamation point, plan the closing. The closing should be planned at the onset of the loan for foreign national borrowers. You discuss, are you coming to the U.S. to sign? Are you signing in an embassy or consulate over there? Are we going to use remote online notarization, right? So you should, this should be planned in the beginning, but please at least 2 weeks before you're planning on closing. And depending on the method of actual closing, you may need more advance notice. Now, like I mentioned, the closing can be in person in the good old US of A. If it is going to be in person, keep note that if the borrower resides in a non-visa waiver country, they're going to need a visa to get into the US. That may take some time as consulates and embassies are ramping up their operations after being closed for a while during the pandemic. So reason I say that, A, to get the visa, or B, to get the appointment to sign, because you can sign in a consulate or embassy outside the USA. So then, you know, you need to make that appointment sometimes months in advance. Some countries, it's only a week or 2 weeks, but it still may take a week or 2 weeks. And if you think, documents are going to be there day after tomorrow by DHL, and you got to sign and bring them back in X number of days to fund this thing, or else the seller may not want to wait, you know, because closing means the seller getting the money. So these are all logistical considerations that need to be made. I mentioned remote online notarization, also referred to as RON, RON. This definitely needs to be coordinated at the onset of the application to confirm, A, that the conduit we're using for the loan accepts it, right? It says right there, it needs to be approved by the investor or lender funding the loan, needs to be coordinated, it needs to be approved by the title company. This is the one that a lot of people forget, that what if the title company underwriter doesn't accept remote online notarization? We've had that where we accept it, secondary accepts it, title company says we don't accept it. So and then either get new title or figure out how you're going to close this without using remote online notarization. So whatever method you use, and there may be other methods out there that are proprietary to that particular conduit's closing and what's acceptable. So we could always plan it, but that's the whole idea. Plan the closing, right? You don't want to get caught off guard thinking this is like a regular deal. Excuse me. All right. You got to clear to close. Let's clear quality control. Let's send the wire to title and let's close. Okay. Right. But your borrower is sitting on the other side of the world, probably in another time zone, possibly months away from getting an appointment. So, but there's, again, now, for example, we do quite a bit of business with Canada. And in Canada, it's a little easier, right? I mean, we actually have sent notaries to the Canadian border or right to the other side where the borrower doesn't live that far from the border. So either the borrower can come meet the notary or the notary can go meet the borrower right there. Like, for example, Buffalo, New York, right? Niagara Falls. And then they can plan this closing. And, you know, they've been able to do it that way. So now let me show you some sample documents, right? Here we have, we like to make it as easy as possible. So here we have our sample bank and credit reference letters that shows you the typical information that would be needed. Now, obviously, this would have to be put on letterhead. This is just a sample of the type of information we would need. Always needs to be in English or translated to English by a certified translator. Again, we do have options that do not require credit reference letters, loan options, remember that. And letterhead and reflect business's telephone number and address. So this would be your sample bank / credit reference letter. It could serve both purposes. This is our sample CPA letter for self-employed borrowers, right? Gets on the similar to what you're going to need. Needs to be from the country where the income originates, the CPA. We need this on the CPA letterhead accompanied by the business license of the CPA. And if not in English, has to be translated by a certified translator. And then last but not least, our sample letter for income for a salaried or hourly borrower. Again, their employer has to be where they reside, definitely outside the U.S., on company letterhead to reflect employer's telephone number, address, and website, and translate it to English if in any other language. So foreign national loans, pretty basic, you know, documentation requirements aren't that difficult. What's more difficult is logistics and getting everything in English, right? So if you ask for the documents in English, then you know what, you will receive them hopefully in English. But if you just accept them in whatever language they're in, that's fine. But then keep in mind, it's going to have to be translated by a certified translator that comes with a time and cost. So that should be taken into consideration if that's what's going to happen in the loan cost when it is being disclosed, right? So that's one of the conversations you want to have with your borrower, and then find a good translator, or they're going to have to find a good translator in their country, and they'll have to provide that certified translation from their native language to English.
All right, let's see. I do see a question here. We'll pull it up on the screen here in just a second. So the question is, do we have a list of title companies that accept remote online notary?
We don't specifically have a list of title companies because those would be the underwriters. So I would just state that, bring that up with all of your transaction partners, you know, because a lot of times the real estate agents, like the seller's agents, depending on the market, the seller will designate the title company and the closing agent. And they're not necessarily taking into consideration that your borrower could be a foreign national borrower. So that's something where you would want to reach out to the title company. Now we know with our partners that we use for the foreign national loans, we know that pretty much most of them will allow remote online notarization. You just got to bring it up early in the process so that all the boxes could get checked off on. It's really more the title companies that you have to be careful with, because they, the underwriter, whoever they use, whether they use First American as a title as an underwriter or Chicago Title, or maybe it's an attorney and they use attorney's title insurance fund, whoever, there's many title underwriters out there. Old Republic is another company, and they all may have their own requirements. We had one where same borrower, two separate properties. She was buying two properties simultaneous. We did the loans on both of them. Separate sellers, different title companies. One accepted remote online notarization. The other one at the last minute said, hey, you know, we thought, but no, sorry. So luckily she was from a country that she was able to secure an appointment fairly quickly at the embassy. And she was a great borrower, as they usually most are, and jumped on it. But I mean, in some countries, that appointment could be months away.
Or far away.
Or, oh, yes. Or 600, 700, 800 miles away.
One of our guys was in a remote area and had to fly 8 hours to his appointment because they did, again, one with remote, one couldn't be. Difference was an 8-hour flight in multiple days. It does make a big difference. Let's talk for a second, though, Jose, about why. So remember, the reason why we can't do remote online notary and why we have to do it at an embassy is because we have to prove their identity, right? Yep. So remember, the title company still has to ensure and verify that they've verified the U.S. Patriot Act, right? That they verified that this is not someone that's on these lists and the money is going to this person and this person is this person, which in the U.S., it's very easy for any notary to use any U.S. ID to verify the identity to U.S. standards to then fulfill the Patriot Act and stuff like that, right? But online, guess what? We can't do that. And online, there's a lot of remote online notaries that can easily verify United States passport or United States ID for a United States remote online notary session. That's not the same thing as verifying a foreign passport for a remote online notary session, or same thing they're doing in the embassies, right? They're not coming in the embassy with a U.S. passport because they don't have one, right? They're not a citizen. They're coming in with some other country's passport, and there's special people there with specialized training that then verifies those documents that that person is that person, which is very hard to do online. And as you can think about it, right, 195 countries or whatever there is, right, with different passports, how could you do that all online in a system? It's very difficult. So there's a reason for this. It's not us being difficult. It's not the underwriters being difficult. It is difficult to verify documents to U.S. standards without being in the U.S., right? So that's also why Jose mentioned we sent notaries to the border, but they can't go over the border, right? They can meet you at the border. You can come over to the U.S. side, sign everything on the U.S. side, right? But you can't verify to U.S. standards once you step one foot over that line, correct, Jose?
Yep, yep. We send them to Buffalo, New York, and they come from Niagara Falls, you know, and sign, or wherever they may be. That's just an example of one popular, very popular border crossing here in the Toronto area. And I actually have one slide more that I wanted to share. I thought I was done, but I have one slide. It's just highlighting foreign national borrower activity in the United States, right? So I just wanted to share this here because for our MLOs out there, here we're looking at the top six countries, right? You're looking at Canada with 11%, Mexico, 8%, obviously. Those are pretty obvious, right? They're like right on our borders, north and south. But then you have China with 6%, India, 5%, Brazil was 3%, and Colombia coming on strong there was 3%. And then top destinations, Florida with 24%, California with 11%, Texas 8%, Arizona 7%, New York 4%, and North Carolina 4%. Right. So that gives you some idea of marketing strategies. If you're trying to get foreign national borrowers, or if you're working in those states, be ready for the foreign national borrowers that you're likely to encounter if you're licensed in any of those states. More the reason to be on these trainings, see the basics and then, you know, reach out for additional guidance once you do have the foreign national borrower.
All right, great. Well, I don't see any other questions, so I think we'll go ahead and wrap it up then. Remember, we do this every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. So we will be back tomorrow with a new topic. We appreciate everybody tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the next episode of the Loan Officer Training Series with the Mortgage Calculator. Take care, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Have a good night.
Loan officers, join the Mortgage Calculator as an MLO for unlimited mortgage leads and up to 250 BPS compensation.